Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Well, Grand Rising, everybody, I am so excited to welcome you all to the show, Self-Care, hosted by the Female Solution. And I'm excited to let you know that I have a returning guest, Gina Martel, and she's from Zen Horse Barn. And I want to just tell you what we're going to talk about today. So are you like always attracted to, like, if you're a woman, are you always attracted to the same type of guy? If you're a man, are you always attracted to the same type of girl, right? And are you not getting different results? So are you getting a different outcome than what you wanted? So we're going to talk about today on the show how your mom and dad, right, may have an impact on how you choose your mate. For some of you, you're like, yeah, I get that, right? And then for the other of you, you're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So the thing is, mom and dad are a really important part about how we choose our mate. And then even if you do choose the right mate for you, I'm here to tell you, and with the help of this beautiful woman, Gina, there are still issues to work out because of your childhood. Just going to say. All right. So let me bring on Gina Martel. Grand Rising, beautiful sister. Good. You may have to move a little bit to the other side because I gave it a full screen. Yeah. Lean in. So how are Dodger and Blue? So Dodger and Blue are her horses, everybody. They're beautiful. You say 11. I heard it was going down to 31. But is it because you're further north? donated our shovel. I'm really not kidding. I'm like, why do we need a shovel? We're in Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so, right, so I grew up near the border of Wisconsin, and so our horses, yeah, they not only did they walk around with icicles, but blankets and icicles, right? So, because it got cold, you know, and, you know, they're okay as long as they're running around and they're not just sitting there. And we give them the good food and the love, and we make sure they have access to the stall. So, we're just going, and a few carrots. Well, so it's funny because Blue and Dodger are piping in right now, and they're saying, "Mama, we know that there's carrots in there. We saw the big bag and we know you didn't eat them all." All right. Asking for. So we have Teddy, Teddy May, she goes Teddy June, says, "I'm on, much love to you and all on here. Love to you too, Teddy." We've got, oh, look, it came on like several times. That's interesting. Everything's repeating, including beautiful girls here, which we will just ignore that. And hopefully somebody can block that for us. So, Gina, what happens when we pick our mate? What's the 411 or what's the 911 when you pick the wrong mate? We got 2 hours to the show and the first commercial cancellation. Equation? Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's funny, my mom, and I'll talk for a minute, there's two things. One, we have a caller, but whoever's calling in at 312-849, we're going to pause you for a little bit so we can have Dina kind of get everybody started with the show, just to let you know. And then secondly, my mom encouraged me because she wanted to be a grandma so bad. Have babies. I don't care if you're married, she says. Have babies. Make me a grandma. I'm like, Mom, not sure I'm up for that. I didn't even want to have babies. I want to have other people's babies. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A dad that's really chiming in and really put his ego aside about the whole divorce or the breakup or whatever. Single moms are very unique. We're not the typical woman. I mean, we got to be mom and dad. We've got to try to set a family situation in our home to raise our kids on the most solid foundation that we can, and it's really hard. And then in the meantime, you know, maybe we're trying to date, or maybe we've decided not to date, and meeting somebody else. And then when you're meeting somebody else, now you're picking somebody else not only for you, but you're picking somebody for your children.
Oh, all that.
And, you know, I love to refer to the movie Jerry Maguire, because that's a great example of single mom, right? And with Cuba Gooding, one of my favorite actors, he says, you know, look, you know, I was raised by a single mom. Single mom has been to the circus. She's seen the clowns. She knows. That's fairly true, except for the women that have not healed that father wound, and they will pick the same guy again.
Over and over again.
Now, I'm not saying that every guy, you know, that this is all men's fault, because, I mean, they're raised how they are raised. And so,
women, most of them.
Yeah, a lot of them are. And unfortunately, they're raised by a lot of women with father wounds. Now, I'm going to be very honest and very candid here. I was raised with a father wound myself, and this is why I specialize mostly. I mean, I work with men, but at what?
Well, it just occurred to me.
What?
So I was, my mom, you know, she had a father wound, huge, because she was a product of divorce,
yeah.
Right? And she loved her father so much, and my grandmother really wouldn't let them be together at all.
That is parental alienation.
I know. So here's the interesting thing. I've been on a quest to heal my father wounds, and it just occurred to me who's in my house, and I'm not talking about Andrew. That's my grandfather.
Yeah.
Bagala.
It is ancestral, too. There's a lot of ancestral energy attached to us. As a matter of fact, I was telling a client just the other day, she did not want to be like her mom. And I said, guess what? You've got parts of your mom in you, including your eggs, you know?
Yeah, right.
All the way back. I mean, you know, so, but the whole thing with what I was saying about the movie is that, you know, it's very important to have, you know, to make a good choice in the man you're going to spend your life with. And that choice is based on the kind of relationship you had with your father. Now, when I say that I had a father wound, I did. I healed a lot of it. I still have moments of it sometimes. I mean, I'll just be very simple about this explanation or basic with it. My parents got divorced when I was 10.
Yeah.
My mom never grew up. My mom was a child, and she never knew her father. Gigantic father wound there, because my great-grandmother chased off every man that came into the house. We lived on they lived in a big farm in Indiana.
Okay.
Middleville, Indiana. And my great-grandmother ruled the roost. And my grandmother got pregnant. And because I'm a daughter of the American Revolution, I did all the research on my family. I have the marriage certificates, the death certificates, the divorce certificates. I have all that stuff, right? My grandmother got pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant with my mom.
Okay.
And they got married, and they got divorced exactly a year after.
Wow.
And my mom never knew her dad past the age of two. So my mom had, with exception of my father, but my dad was never around because he was working. My dad worked with an airline, a very big airline at the time, and he was gone traveling all the time. And they fought all the time.
Yeah, I mean, same thing here. I mean, not same, similar, right? And I told you about my mom and her dad, but then my dad, and I love my father, you know that, and I love my mom. So this people, we're not telling you not to love your parents. Just
No.
but he was not around. Like, he would come home sporadically, right? And so I thought that's how that worked. Like, you had to spend the night out in order to get your job done.
because when you're a child, you know, that's your environment. That's all that you know.
Right, it's just the story you make up, because you got to figure out, because if they're not coming home, they got to work all night long.
Right. And honestly, in my end of it, my dad was gone for days, you know, and I just thought that was what you did too. And I thought that fighting was very normal. And I thought, I don't think I ever want to get married if I'm going to fight like this. I guess this is what I'm supposed to do is fight all the time. When my parents got divorced, my dad got offered a job, out of the U.S. to go and run, basically, this airline. And my mom made a really stupid choice and married this guy that, well, she'd had an affair with. And she blamed it on, well, your father accused me of having an affair all the time, and he was always gone. I had a hard time understanding that as a child. Now I can understand that to a point, but the other part is that what she chose was so, she chose somebody so mentally ill. I mean, a total narcissist, violent.
Was she pissed? You know, a meal ticket, or did she?
No, not at all. And as a matter of fact, she had to call my dad many times for bail money to bail this guy out of jail because he would pick up a gun and it was horribly violent when I grew up with.
Wow, I'm so sorry.
Horribly violent. And it's in my book. I mentioned that a little part in my book, just a little part of it. But anyway, I had two dads effectively. I had one that wasn't around, and when he moved, he got married and a whole new family, and then this man came into my life and he was horrible. He was so mentally ill. It was terrible, and I had a lot of healing to do over that. Now, I've worked many years, and I've gone through stuff, and I've healed, like, most all of that. You know, but still there's a little, you know, we all will have little triggers on occasion that pop up, you know, when something reminds us of something. But this is what happens. If we don't have that loving, healthy relationship with our father, and that being said, our father being a healthy, loving, you know, man, we're going to choose the wrong guy every time. Every time.
Yeah, and if you're a man choosing a woman?
Yeah, because mom is very important. If you don't get the emotional support from mom, if you don't get the love and the nurturing, and guys will look at mom as, I mean, look, your mom is your first love when you're a boy. Your dad is your first love when you're a girl.
Oh, that's a problem for me.
It's a, well, it, but it is. Whatever it was, that's the way it is, because we just, you know, you have the Oedipus, you have the Electra, you know, syndrome. I mean, you know, you get like
I'm in trouble now.
Well, it all goes back to, you know, Greek tragedy. But anyway, so all this stuff.
Let me get it. Good thing I was in therapy since I was 11. I'm just
but I mean, look, what we hope and. We women choose men and ignore the red flags because we're looking for daddy.
Right.
We're looking for daddy. So when somebody comes to work with me, mostly women, it seems, first book I demand that everybody read is, it's a great book. It's been around for a long time. It's by Robin Norwood,
okay.
Women Who Love Too Much.
Ah.
Oh, my God.
That's not me.
No, it's not about that. It's not even about that. It's
who's the author again?
Robin Norwood. Norwood.
Norwood. The women.
Norwood. I have to write it down.
Robin Norwood.
Robin Norwood. Yeah, Robin Norwood. Sorry, my mouth is still waking up.
Nobody. Thank you. Right.
Yeah.
Morning, Chris. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Chris.
Andrew, for being here.
Hi, Andrew.
Thank you, Teddy, for being here. We love you all. All right, we're back to mommy and daddy issues.
So, you know, what we hope is that we've got a healthy set of parents, okay? And I don't mean, you know, Leave It to Beaver, and now I'm dating myself, you know, Leave It to Beaver kind of, you know, it's just, what girls need from their dad is, you know, they need the discipline, not the beatings. They need.
Well, I got beatings, but go ahead.
Right. They need the firm guiding hand.
Right.
They need to be able to sit with their father. And when I say have an intimate relationship, I don't mean sexual. I mean a relationship that their father actually sits and talks to them and builds a bond. Okay? This is going to sound crazy too. Did you ever see the movie with Steve Martin when his daughter gets married, Father of the Bride?
I think I remember that movie.
It's a great movie. It's got Steve Martin and Diane Keaton in it, and the daughter's getting married. And, you know, he's got a very close relationship with his daughter, right?
Yeah.
But what I look at really is the way they personify that relationship as being pretty healthy. I mean, they go outside. They have this thing, their thing that they play basketball together. You know, she goes away and travels someplace in the world a little bit and comes back and meets a guy and they're going to get married. And, you know, dad's like, you know, really protective and whatever. I mean, those are some things, you know, when I say having a close relationship, seeing your daughter, knowing who she is, helping her to become a woman. Some guys are so uncomfortable with their daughter going through getting her period and wearing a bra and, you know, becoming a woman.
Oh, my dad freaked out when he saw me in a bathing suit.
Yeah. So, and that's how you develop, you know, body image issues and things like that.
Well, my sister had those body image issues. I didn't really, he just, you know, he just didn't want us out.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you reached puberty? Yeah, you're not going out anymore.
Yeah. And, okay, you know, I understand the protective stuff. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that we hope that we have a healthy, loving father who's not emotionally unavailable, who is, you know, God willing, has no addiction problems and drags him into the house, who's not violent, you know. Because what happens is, We will grow up and start having relationships, and then what are we doing? Every guy that we get involved with has got some dysfunction, and all we're doing is looking for dad. We are looking for dad, and dad was dysfunctional, so we find something dysfunctional that we can fix and we can love enough, and that's the name of the book, love, you know, love too much.
You love too much,
I just
yeah.
love him enough. And then they'll love me back. And that's just not the way it works.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to ask you some questions. We're going to break in a few minutes. But, you know, I was basically raised by my mom. And my oldest, second to oldest brother, David. You know, he's like my dad. And he was amazing. He was amazing growing up. Still is amazing. And I just kind of think that I was picking men that were like my mother.
So that's, you know, you could have some of that too.
Yeah, but, I mean, because my mom was passive aggressive. I mean, she didn't mean to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't want to share her feelings. But my dad wasn't passive aggressive. He told you exactly what was so.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when he chose to, he shared his feelings. Actually, he was pretty good at sharing his feelings, now that I think about it. Once we actually started talking, yeah, mm-hmm. that was momentous in its own right.
Well, that right there, you know. So, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff around that can trickle out, and then we don't pay attention to those red flags because we think, oh, but I can fix them. I can fix them. And then we realize we really can't, or sometimes it's even worse when we do fix them. Then we're done and we move on, you know.
Oh, because we're the fix it lady.
Well, we're trying to fix the relationship between dad and me, or dad and you.
We're not fixing ourselves, right? And we should talk about, because I mean, actually, you are the fix it lady, but in the healthy way, right? And mm-hmm. You know, Andrew and I came to see you, and it was eye-opening to me about some of the things that I learned, and then And I'd like to talk about that in the, you know, when we come back in a few minutes. But, and then what we got, Chris says, she says, I think the best thing my dad did for me was let me know I could do anything I put my mind to and never let anyone tell me different.
Great advice.
Yeah, Chris, both my mom and dad did that for me too.
That's good. You know, when you tell your daughter that, or your son that, usually they grow up and really believe that. And then they go out and pursue it, which is nice, right?
I'm going to tell you that so that's how I grew up. I mean, my parents told me basically I could do anything I wanted. I mean, I remember sitting on the stairs, going up to the bedroom, you know, to their side of the house, and they would just tell me this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that other people didn't get that, I was floored. Like, it was so, like, what I didn't understand, making sure my phone is off, good. What I didn't understand is how many people are told that they can't do or they don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like to me, that's crazy. Like, why would you instill whatever you do is good enough or you won't be good enough? Why would you instill anything other than what Chris just wrote?
Yeah. Well, I know of a family. They're from, well, I'm not even going to say where they're from because I don't want to sound like I'm judging, but they actually were raised with the father. It was like they were much older people, and this was like 20 years ago that I ran into these people. The woman was raised by a very tyrannical father. I mean, she wasn't even allowed to play piano. She wasn't allowed to do anything unless he approved of it. He ran that house and kept her really in the dark about life, about relationships. Her mother was, you know, run by the dad too. It wasn't anything abusive. And I remember her making a comment.
That's better opinion.
Well, not physically abusive, at least.
That's physically
abusive. I remember her making a comment to me, and she seemed proud of it. She says, "We didn't know anything, and we didn't want to know anything."
Huh?
I was stunned that they were okay with that. That they were okay with that. And I thought, well, that's how they raised their two boys, too. We didn't know anything and we didn't want to know anything. We just, you know, go through life with blinders on. But there are people that do that. I know, but there are people that do that.
We grew up, I mean, there were a couple things that my dad demanded, which was one of, and I didn't agree with it at all. You know, I grew up Jewish. Before converting to Christianity, but as a young girl and my siblings, my brothers, the boys all were bar mitzvahed.
Mm-hmm. Bar mitzvah is boy, bat mitzvah is girl.
Yeah, and so, and the women were not allowed to have a bat mitzvah.
Mm-mm. Really?
So... That was like, and so by the age of 50, I'm now, you know, at that point I was on disability, and I was studying for my bat mitzvah to have it at age 53, which would have been, you know, 40 years exact of the time you're supposed to have a bat mitzvah, which is 13. And then, of course, I converted to Christianity at that time. I had the ultimate bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
And to my Jewish family and friends, I don't dishonor our background. Growing up as a Jew was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me to be a critical thinker. I just found more love over here. That's all. You know,
yeah.
So it taught me that I have nothing bad to say about it.
Listen, people hop around. I hopped around to plenty of religions when I was growing up because we didn't really have a steady one. Technically, I'm Catholic. But I'm not any of that anymore.
Yeah, I'm a Jesus follower, but I'm not a Bible bumper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, There's so much information available to us as intuitives that's not in the Bible.
Exactly. Well, a lot of, yeah, supposedly a lot of chapters are missing. But
Andrew can speak to that at a level that's like, that's his gig, man. He knows
yeah.
it. He's brilliant.
That's awesome.
Sure,
yeah.
To go to commercial real quick. And
yeah.
that's something you want to say before we...
No, let's go to commercial.
Okay. And then let's see what we got here. And so, meanwhile, before we do that, if you're listening and you have a question for Gina or myself, but I really think she's got the show here, 515 is the number, 605, and then 9325. We're testing my eyesight today and my memory all at the same time. So, again, call into the show, 515-605-9325. Now, you can just listen in on the show on that line, or you can press 1, and that's where we'll know, like a hand will go up in the back room, and we can you can ask questions of Gina or myself, okay? So let's get this party started with these couple quick commercials. Don't leave us. We love you. We're excited to have you.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Jody Susan of Susan Essentials was misdiagnosed and nearly died in 2013. Instead, she chose to reclaim her health using plant and energy-based healing. After losing 92 pounds, she now offers a psychologist and doctor-recommended functional food program focusing on two things, toxic-free living and a connection to our brain health. Tucson Essentials, re-engineered with Health Book Hut, is a self-paced functional food program now available to you with plans starting at just $99.
All right. So I want to just talk about this functional food program for a quick minute. So it's $99 for the self-paced program. Of course, there's coaching plans available. And I got a bonus. So, So I'm doing some classes that start next year, a men's group and a women's group, and it's part of the 3 Rs program, which is remove, replace, receive. Which is remove those things that don't serve you, replace those things with that fuel your soul to receive the light,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And typically that program is $3,700, actually $3,750 one-on-one. But I'm doing groups. So the price is going down to $1,000 for 10 sessions.
Wow.
Yeah, so instead of paying me $220 an hour, you're paying me $50 an hour.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So, but here's the bonus. If you sign up for this class before end of year, you get that functional food program for free. So it's a bonus. Right. Because here's the thing, and you know this, Gina. First of all, we're having the 10-year anniversary of the end of the Mayan calendar tomorrow, right? And people are spiritually awakening. And it's very, in my opinion, it can be done, but it's not easy. But it's difficult to really connect to God on a level or to Source, you know, at a level that is as meaningful as it can be. Doesn't mean it's not meaningful. Just means there's something better. if you don't have a clean body and a clean diet. Because it makes the work that you and I do harder, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and personally speaking, I know that figures back, I think 2012 is when all this stuff really started, you know, everyone started waking up. I know I did as well.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I lost two people just before the Mayan calendar ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I felt, you know, my dad is Brazilian, right? So we do some phenomenal Brazilian barbecue. We call it rodízio or churrasco. And it's unbelievable. Like, it's so delicious. But it's a lot of food and it's all meat. But I really kind of gave up a lot of meat, you know, that time. I would have, you know, I'd pretty much have a glass of wine, red wine every night. It's got some good stuff in it, you know, wine. And I have a heart murmur. So I thought, well, it's good for my heart, you know. But I gave that up. I gave up fried foods. I'm still trying to give up sugar. It's hard. But, yeah, it's really,
I can help you on the sugar part.
We've all been called to eat better. I can't eat enough fruits and vegetables right now. I'm at that point. So all these years later, I feel so much better, so much better. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So, and I'll make this brief just because it's really not our topic, but I do think it interrelates. Well, I know it does. When I finally got properly diagnosed, because for most people know that I was misdiagnosed if you just watched that little clip, and there was a lot of trauma. And so when we are consuming foods and repetitively and we have trauma, our body starts to see those foods as a predator.
Uh-huh.
And it shows up as food sensitivities.
Yeah.
So I had 135 of them. Andrew had 165. Now, most of my food sensitivities were vegetables.
Huh.
So when I had to reclaim my health, I did it with mostly meat. Now, today, so that's why I can't judge people who are not vegan or, well, what if you're sensitive to that crap, right?
Exactly. Me neither. So,
Yeah. So I, now that I have zero sensitivities, because I reverse them all, and by the way, I can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Message me if you need that. I have about 10% meat, you know,
uh-huh.
and 90% vegetables and grains, like healthy grains, healthy vegetables, and fruit.
Yeah.
And then it seems like if I really need grounding, I'm either having a ton of, you know, because meat is grounding, so a ton of watermelon and dark chocolate, but then eventually sometimes I just need that meat.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, once in a while, you know, if my cousin, because he's also Brazilian, gets out the barbecue and he's making that, like the picanha, I'm going to have some, you know, but I just don't, on a rule, I just don't, I don't know, I had a meal a couple years ago that made me so ill, and I thought, oh my God, I put this in my body, and I don't want to ever eat this again, so I just cleaned everything up, but yeah, it's, there's no judgment on that. I mean, I eat fish, and
right, yeah, I eat all that too, although we're going to talk a little bit about selfish. By the way, in the back room, can you put down your contact information? Because I would love for you to share so I can share with everybody how people can reach out to you.
What do I do there?
So in private chat, see?
Private chat?
Yeah, so you should have a ding. You should, yep, see that?
Okay.
So please add your contact information so I can add it to the banner.
Okay, so how do I add this down to chat with the bottom, right? Okay.
You just type it in, and then I'll put it in there for you after I get it. So, you know, like that. Thank you, Chris. Because I'd asked earlier, but we got, and Teddy says, Andrew Calhoun, Beautiful Girls is back. So I think Teddy's asking you to block those babies. Block the beautiful girls. There you go. So, and I think we missed a couple while you're doing that. Chris had said, she says, and of course my love of nature comes from her father. And she says, ignorance is bliss. Or not.
Maybe that's why they stayed like that. I don't know.
Right?
It worked for me, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, at least you've got some really great followers of Girls in the City. I mean, going back to the post over here.
Well, the one thing I want to emphasize about this topic that we're discussing, I mean, it happens to a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to a lot of women. And so when I do this work, my point is, my goal is always to get them to forgive. Forgiving dad, forgiving mom is really important. And then I paint the picture of if you knew that, you know, like I always ask, do you believe in reincarnation? Because some people don't, but that's okay. But I go, well, I do, but the way that helps me look at things sometimes is that if you knew that this was a purpose that you came here to do, you know, you came here to learn to forgive, you came here to learn self-love, you know, and this is all in Akashic Records, that this is in your blueprint, this is what you will be doing in this lifetime, right? So when I can tell people, hey, there's a beautiful book. Neil Donald Walsh wrote it. He's the author of Conversations with God.
Ah.
And there's this little book. Hold on.
Forgive my sweatpants.
You look cute, Dolly. And you know,
yes.
We're casual on this show because I expect
very.
You to be in too. So
this is such a great little book, Little Soul and the Earth.
Little Soul.
It's Neil. It's a children's book. It's a children's book, and I love this guy is awesome. I love him.
Okay,
and,
the author again, because I'm writing that down.
Neil Donald Walsh. He is the author of Conversations with God.
Oh, so we've got two that we want: Little Soul and the Earth, and then Conversations with God.
Right.
Which is what it's all about in this world.
Yeah.
You know,
so
if we stop looking for approval, right, from everybody else, just go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but because you come here and then you have to go through these lessons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm explaining this to somebody, and it just, most of the people I work with are awake, and most of the people I work with do believe in reincarnation.
Oh, I do all day, yeah.
Some people may not, but that's okay. They're just, like, on the fence about it.
Yeah, I've got grandfather in the next room, so yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I tell them is, listen, what if I told you that this had been a plan? Like, this had been all you had asked for this. You actually chose your parents
mm-hmm.
because they were the ones that was going to teach you the best way what you wanted to learn, what your purpose was to come down here, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I go, so basically it's like this. You're ready to come down and be born, and then you're standing at the bus stop, right, up there. And
oh.
Then somebody walks up and says, hey, by the way, I'm going to be the idiot that you marry, right? And it's going to be like red flags all over the place, and we're going to see if you learn how to pick somebody healthier and better for you eventually, right? Because this whole thing with you is learning self-love and learning forgiveness. So I just paint that little picture, and they're like, oh, that kind of makes sense. I go, it's a play. Everything we do is a play, and you're the star of your play. And you chose all your, you know, supporting actors and actresses, and these are all the people in your play that are here to help you accomplish this goal of yours, which is why you came here. So when I tell people that, they're kind of like, oh, that makes sense. And I'm like,
well, because when you're an intuitive and you're awakening and then like someone like you or I share that concept, it does resonate as truth. Like they get it, like, because it's getting
right.
reactivated.
Exactly.
And, right. So, and it's, you know, I keep on forgetting what I want to say. I need to start taking, oh, yeah, I did take notes. Okay. the stage, man. Woo. So, you know, we're, the final phase of the functional food program is, like, we have maybe 4 hours left of work left to do, and I was up to 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got up at, you know, early. So.
Yeah. I understand. You're tired. I know.
Yeah, yeah. But the show that, what I was going to say is the show that I did with Michelle Froge, which is at the first, Michelle Froge is the rock star coach, and she's on the show once a month, the first Tuesday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So the first Tuesday, I believe, was either December 5th or 6th, and we talked about self-love.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, I mean, so powerful. Actually, you and I should do a show on that as well. And
yeah.
then she and I are doing another show, of course, January 3rd, and it's on forgiveness.
It's forgiveness is so, I mean, look, you know who Dolores Cannon is?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, I love Dolores Cannon.
Yeah.
When I first saw her, she was the absolute replica of my Nana, my mom. Same hair, I mean, the same little man. I thought, oh, my God, I'm looking at Nana. It's, like, weird, you know? She was so, oh, my God, the wisdom of that woman and all the information that she had gotten, you know, it was crazy. She talks a lot. You know, about, you know, coming back and the reincarnation of all of our purposes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the forgiveness is really something she talks a lot about as well. And she says, you know, well, she's in these deep, you know, hypnosis sessions that she's doing with people in past lives, and they're saying, I can't forgive. You don't know what they did to me. And it's not even about that. They did those things so that you could learn what you're supposed to learn.
Yeah.
So what happened in my situation eventually when I started doing all my healing was I could go back and forgive my mom,
mm-hmm.
forgive my dad, and forget the horribly violent man that raised me from the age of 10 to 17. You know, and really forgive that. And that was a big, big deal. So, I mean, but once you do that.
Hold on. I want to make something really, really important here. So, and this is what you taught me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, I forgave my mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
I forgave my brother, my oldest brother, for abusing me, you know, physically abusing me. The first thing I forgot, though, was to forgive myself for what I activated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The second thing I forgot to do was to remove the frequency and imprint and cellular memory from my body because it comes across as judgmental, and I swear I wasn't trying to be, but it was. So, so I'll just own it. But I say this often. In life, we get to choose to either be the dog or we get to be the tail of the dog, right? So the dog's leading the tail, but the tail goes, right? So what do you want to be in life? Do you want to be the dog leading the charge or do you want to be the tail going, not really having an idea which way it's going to go because the dog's leading the way?
Yeah.
And I thought it was, I thought it was the dog. Sorry, folks, I'm going to own this right here. I was the tail. Even when I thought it was the dog, and I was a tail because I was a tail because I had the imprint on my body still, even though I forgave them, and I had the frequency and the cellular sequence. And so until Gina pointed that out, right, like that it was still present, like you brought that out, that I could see that frequency, I was still operating from that. Great that you forgive your parents. How are you going to get rid of that frequency? How are you going to get rid of that cellular memory? How are you going to remove the imprint?
So it does attach to your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is this is part of the stuff that I do, I remove that through a very exhausting, emotionally draining technique. It's a letting go technique. And some people don't like it and some people love it, but I create emotion with motion and pull that out. I give you the opportunity just between you and I'm there guiding you and watching over you, but I take you back to that moment of getting you emotional and pissed off and or feeling sad or whatever it is, and getting to tell that parent or whoever did that to you, right? Tell them how you felt. Why did you do that to me? And you're hitting a pillow or you're writing it in an impact letter or whatever works for you. That's what I use. And it does remove it. It does remove it. And then with the forgiveness after that, then you're in a completely different state and you feel so much lighter. And then we heal. Then I go and I heal the inner child, because that inner child is inside and they're the ones living with that imprint and everything going on. And it does change yourself. All those negative words, all those negative feelings that we hear growing up, right, they attach to ourselves, and that's what causes disease, and we know that.
Well, so not only does it, okay, so that attaches to the cells, and yes, it causes disease. And then you're repeating that to yourself. So you're maintaining and manifesting disease.
Right, and there that and a lot of that comes from a lot of self-talk that we do. Mm-hmm. We get in our heads. There's a great book. I'm all about the book today. I got so many books to recommend. Have you ever heard of the book Untethered Soul, Michael Singer?
No.
Ah, he's amazing. The book is called Untethered Soul, and it is a book that, okay, so in our heads, we've got this bad roommate. We've got that voice.
Right. I talk about this. I didn't know that this
bad,
was, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad roommate. And if
and
you were to let that roommate.
You're not paying rent, right? I mean, like.
Right. And if you were going to let that roommate out, he'd be in your apartment and he would eat potato chips and throw them all over the floor and mess things up and leave the, you know, the cabinet doors open and, you know, mess up your couch and do terrible things. We have that roommate inside of us that is our self-doubt that tells us, oh, you don't deserve that, or, oh, you know, he doesn't love you, or you're not worthy, or you're not lovable. Those are all the, you know, so it's a fantastic book to get. And he's got it on audio and Audible, too, as a matter of fact. Yeah, all that stuff plays, you know, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it's huge. And going back to the forgiveness, because this includes you too, Gina, and Chris was a big part of this. And then, I mean, there were so many healers involved, but you guys were, you know, the core group. As you know, on October 18th, we did the healing circle for our friend Michael Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is doing amazing. He's actually scheduled to be on the show on Valentine's Day.
That's amazing.
So, and just to go, I have permission to tell this story because, I mean, it's like he's just been so, you know, open about it. His heart was failing, and they said there was no way to repair it. And he said, yeah, I don't think so. They offered him potentially to have, you know, like, cut open the heart. He's like, yeah, no one's cutting into my body. And I'm like, good man, love you. And he was on oxygen in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Sold his house. They sold his car because he was ready to die. That's what they all said. Everybody,
I remember that.
Yeah. So, a couple weeks ago, I'm at church, and we have the Tibetan monks there, and Andrew goes, Michael's here. Oh, what? He goes, yeah, Michael Murphy's here. Michael Murphy Burke. Well, what do you mean? Like, and he goes, and he's walking. So he has no oxygen. He walks fine. When I saw him then, his heart was mostly completely healed. Like, you know, as a medical intuitive, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's walking without oxygen, and he's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no wheelchair. He's fine.
So, you know, his biggest thing is probably he's going to have to go make some money after he gets better completely.
And that's
easy. That's the easy thing because he did the hard work. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I know that you were on en route, and I'm not sure if you heard this part of the healing circle, but I started with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to put the link in here for people to access, because the most important thing we did for him at the beginning, everything was important, we did at the beginning,
yeah,
was to help him through forgiving himself.
Yeah.
Because he was blaming himself. And I have to tell you, if you are listening and you are blaming yourself for things and self-loathing, please stop it. Please stop it.
Yeah. It really...
Circle. Let me. I'll just show me. Keep talking. I'll just show the screen.
Yeah. It really, it's amazing how it will affect your body. I mean, when I do this work, I'm creating a physiological change within people. And I just started working with somebody who's had numerous accidents and situations with her body, like, you know, falling and in pain and stuff like that. And she's carrying a father wound. And I said, we're going to release that, and you're going to find that you're going to feel a lot better. She's like, how can that possibly affect my health? And I said, it totally does. It totally does.
Yeah, people don't understand it. So there you are here on the right. I'm at the top. Here's Andrew, Sonia, and Michael right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Chris was in the little computer on stage.
Yeah.
So it was, and then there were probably 1,000 healers that have piped in either before, during or after to support this event and support him, and he is walking.
Yeah. I remember at one point, I don't know what took me over, but I was like laying on him almost, like around his back, like a
well, I have that photo too. Hold on.
Yeah. And
I get him to do the mantras, right?
I was in his ear. And I just was like in a trance, and I was just, you know, because I do light language, so I was over him with that, and then just telling him about the forgiveness and how important it is, and, you know, that he's worthy of love, and that, you know, everything that he believed is not true, you know. And he just was like, what I was impressed with him was that he was so receptive after he hit that point of letting it go, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was then much more receptive.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he's just filled with love. And look at the work you were doing here. You're whispering in his ear, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my husband Andrew, holy crap, he's got the best flipping energy.
Mm-hmm.
Crap. Like, he's a Reiki master, as you know, and it was so funny. So, you know, he started practicing, and women came back. You know, one woman would go back and get the other one. She goes, what happened to you? You're glowing.
Well, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm like, that's what happens when you're around Andrew. You glow.
That's nice.
Andrew's like the glow stick, right? So.
That's nice. Yeah, Michael, I'm so happy. Because, I mean, Andrew and I spoke just briefly about it, and we thought, like, I guess like you and everyone else, that Michael was on his way out, and he'd actually made peace with that he was just, you know. But I think there was a part of him that just was like, no, I think I'm going to stick around a little bit more. And I'm so happy to hear he's off oxygen and he's walking. And I saw a picture of him without anything. I was like, holy hell, that's amazing.
Yeah. I want to say this, because he said it too, so it's okay to say. He did die.
He did.
Yeah, a part of him died.
Yeah, absolutely.
Needed, yeah, the part he didn't need anymore
died. Yeah.
And so, and
Andrew's actually going to call into the show after the break, which we have to go to the commercial in a minute, and he's going to talk about what he did because he let a part of himself die the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He let it go. I am so profoundly, I don't actually have words actually to describe how I feel, but like what he did, that was the work. Like what he did, it was amazing what he did.
Good.
He let it go.
Uh-huh.
He gave himself, and he loves himself.
And, you know, this is all part of what we were, you know, starting the show about was the father thing. I mean, we grew up with these thoughts and these beliefs. They're limiting beliefs as to that we're not lovable, we're not worthy, we're not, you know, everything that we think we have to be to get somebody to love us, when really all we have to do is love ourselves, and that's everything about self-love. And if we can forgive everything that was done to us, and basically we can end our soul contract with somebody. I do a lot of that too. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of burning is what I do.
Yeah, we do burning letters, ending of soul contracts, because you know, you don't have to keep the contract.
No, and really, listen, there's some people that, you know, just they're so stuck in, I say stuck in 3D, stuck in their ego. Ego basically means edging God out. And Wayne Dyer was a big believer in that, and Wayne Dyer is like my hero. I love him. He's one of my favorite spiritual teachers.
Yeah,
you know, there are people that just can't let go. They can't forgive. They just can't see the better life and all the love and the unconditional love and everything that could be coming their way. And that's okay. You know, if they treated you badly and they're hanging on to the judgment and you know, the control and they just can't let it go, you still can heal that. And what you do is you just say, that's fine. I forgive you. I don't expect you to change. I don't expect you to do anything different. You can be who you choose to be because we all have free will. But I'm going to forgive you. And then it releases you. It releases you. So you've done that work. You realize what their purpose was, and then you release them and you forgive them. And it's okay. You still go
on. Yeah, it's interesting. I was taught to wear, like I would hold a grudge, and I'd wear it like a badge of honor, and I learned it from my mom, and I learned it from my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I got it that I was doing that. It was crazy.
We've all done it. We've all done it. I did it for a long time, too, until I realized that I needed to let it go. And once I did, it's amazing how much lighter you feel and how more free you feel when you don't carry. It's like you're carrying a Samsonite warehouse of luggage around with you, of baggage, and there's so much weight. But once you let that go, it's amazing how much better you feel. And when forgiveness, it's not condoning what was done to you. It's lightening your load.
Yes, and it's also letting go of the hope that the past never happened.
Right.
It happened. So
it will always be a part of your history. But it doesn't have to be an active part of your present. It's like Wayne Dyer says, you get on a boat, and I'm not really sure about all the parts of the boat, but I know there's the front and the back.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You get on the boat, and you're going somewhere. You're going forward, right? That's forward motion. But if you look behind you, what is behind you, behind the boat? That's the wake, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all your past behind you. You're not going backwards. You're going forward. You'll go backwards only if you choose to go backwards and put the boat in reverse. Why would you do that? You're not going anywhere.
Right, 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 right. I have a little saying, the infographic. It says, don't look back. You're not going that way.
Well,
Right. Well, Buddha, even in Buddha, you know, Buddha is it's not exactly word for word, but once you find the right direction,
mm-hmm.
keep going forward.
Yeah. I mean,
keep going forward.
Yeah, totally. Let me go, speaking about going forward, I'm going to go to our commercial real quick, mm-hmm. and then I know my husband's going to call in, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Okay.
So, there.
Jody Susan of Tucson Essentials was misdiagnosed and nearly died in 2013. Instead, she chose to reclaim her health using plant and energy-based healing. After losing 92 pounds, she now offers a psychologist and doctor-recommended functional food program focusing on two things, toxic-free living and a connection to our brain health. Tucson Essentials re-engineered with health book hub with a self-paced functional food program now available to you with plans starting at just $99.
With a Place of Peace pop-up from Tucson Essentials, you are able to increase productivity, mental acuity, leaving you with higher energy and peace in just 20 minutes. We pop up at our office or yours.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
All right, so we are back. I think, and I love this edging God out is your ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
When people ask me questions that I know is really not for me to answer, I teach them how to access source energy, right? Because F God.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion doesn't really count. So, and when we can get out of that ego, it's, you know, just a much better place to be. Okay, we have a couple of comments. Teddy says, tears of gratitude for letting go.
Mm.
Love you.
Yeah.
Dr. Tracy Cantarudi, she says, good morning. Can you talk about holding the idea someone needs to apologize for how they treated you? Oh, yeah. So do you want to talk about that, Gina, or should I?
Someone needs to apologize for how they treated you. So she's asking, how do you apologize to somebody that you treated badly?
Well, I think it's more about that someone needs to apologize for how they treated you. Do they really need to or not really?
I think that they should.
Okay, so we're on different planes, but go ahead. You go first, and then I'll talk. I'll be the antithesis, which is fine.
Okay. I think that when someone mistreats you or treats you, in not a loving way, they do need to apologize to you. And the way to do that, you know, look, it's hard for a lot of people to be able to own what they've done. It's very hard. But there's so much growth in that. And once you do that, if you truly do it with your heart, and anything in forgiveness has to be with your heart, because if you don't do it through your heart, it's not real. It's very superficial.
Right. So there are people
who apologize as an exit strategy.
Absolutely.
On to the next thing.
And then they repeat the same behavior.
Manipulation, right?
Right. So, you know, I mean, and people are starting, it's interesting because I have found that people are starting to really understand what an apology means, you know? So, look, there's bad habits, there's patterns that people do, there's behavioral things that they haven't healed and been able to get rid of and stop doing, you know? But in the meantime of at least going through that process, at least if you're working on it and you're trying, you know, something you could say is, look, you know the Ho'oponopono?
I do.
With the left, you know, hugging on the left. Okay. So, you know, it's similar to that. What I tell people is even in couples arguments, and I think I sent it to you guys too, basically, I apologize. You're looking him in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. Please forgive me. I love you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hug, right? Those are very powerful phrases, but they don't mean anything if you don't do it from your heart.
Right. So the thing is, as an intuitive, I can tell if somebody's doing it from the heart, and I'm like, yeah, no. And then they're like, what do you mean, no? I apologize. Like, yeah, you don't actually mean it. What do you mean I don't mean it? Well, I know you don't mean it because you're not heart-centered. So
yeah.
Get into your heart, understand how you made me feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like that. So,
and communication is really, really important, something that people really need to work on because some people just don't know how to communicate. Should I continue to wait for a person who does not own their
So I'm a no for that.
I would say no. But here's what I would tell you to do, Tracy. Forgive them.
That's where we're at.
Do on your thing. Say, okay. And you could say it to them, or you could just say it to yourself. You could even write it out on a piece of paper. Okay, we've got the solstice coming up, which is great for this stuff. We've also got a super-duper powerful new moon coming up on the 23rd, which is great for, you know, new beginnings and releasing. Okay, and you could just write out, I forgive you for whatever this person did, and then you can burn it and just
God
and blow it away.
Yeah, it's called burning letters, and I suggest that you do it in pencil, not in ink, because ink melts and pencil, the lead will just, you know, or the graphite, whatever it is now, will
actually. Could do that. Yeah, you could do that too, but blowing it away. Makes a difference. You feel better when you do that.
I'm with you. We do both. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I also want to just kind of expand upon this with Dr. Tracy. So so here's the thing. I hear it. Okay. So Dr. Tracy and I go way back.
Mm-hmm.
And really, she's an amazing soul. So I'm just going to tell you what I hear for you, Dr. Tracy. So your lesson here, your universal lesson, is to forgive somebody who doesn't really even get what they're doing. Forgive them anyway is what
yeah.
I just said.
Forgive them anyway, exactly.
That's about you and your lesson. This has nothing to do with them. And don't count me. They're saying, okay, just say it. So I suspect heavily that when you really forgive them and love them where they're at and understand that they're not even conscious of it, and you really truly just do that from the heart,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen. They're going to come to you eventually after you do your work. After you do your work, they're going to come to you and apologize.
Yeah, that could absolutely happen.
I'm feeling.
But I think, yeah, I agree. I think that that you just need to forgive them. No matter where they're standing, just forgive them. Wish them love. Wish them peace. And just wish the best for them. And then just move on. It doesn't mean you have to continue having a relationship with them. You know, you can love them, but from afar. Okay. But absolutely, I agree.
But I'm also feeling, because I know Tracy, that she's there's a lot of pain for Tracy around this. And Tracy, you know, offline, I can help you with that and remove it from your timeline and your etheric field and physical body and all that. And so we can set up time for that, because this has been handed down to you from lifetimes. It's ancestral, and it's something you need to really get rid of. It's not yours to own anymore. It's stopping you from living your best life, is what they say. But I feel like there's something in particular, but they're not telling me what it is.
Yeah. See, and exactly what she's talking about, because, you know, you have an ex-husband, when you have a friend, when you have a parent that has done stuff to you that has really upset you or made you feel, nobody can make you feel, but you know what I'm saying, like you feel humiliation or anger or unlovable. That's a lot of the stuff that I do in the letting go, is that you get to tell them, this is what you did and this is the way it felt, and, you know, and release it, and then do the healing of the inner child. So there's a couple ways, you know, that she could.
Oh, yeah, she could really get over that. This. And, you know, that's the thing. So Tina and I do something similar but not the same. And, you know, I honor both practices. Like the practice, one practice may be better for you than the other. It doesn't really matter to us.
No.
Just want you to get healthy and heal. Hold on here. It says, Chris says, I don't know. I believe it depends on the person. And people are where they are. Some are not capable. I would choose not to let it eat me up, right?
Some people are not capable, what, of forgiving? Is that what he's saying?
Or
is that what you're saying, Chris?
I think Chris, it's a she, but I think it's fine. That some people are just not capable of apologizing.
Oh, well, that's ego.
Yeah.
Because, look, it's not about, and let's just talk about apologies for a second, okay? The right way to apologize. It's not, you know, we get handed the, I'm sorry you feel that way. How about, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way? That's a better apology. I'm sorry you reacted like that. I'm sorry if what I said caused you to feel bad and react like that.
Well, right, and so yeah, because sometimes I apologize and I don't really feel like it's for me. I apologize that they felt that way and that what I said made them feel that way, but I also realize, and sometimes it's their perception. It's their clouded belief systems that's having them filter crap. So,
yeah, but you know what? And this is my thought, okay?
Yeah.
When you're in an argument or a debate, nobody wins by being
right.
Being right, right? So what I like to try to do is just think about the love that you have for that person, and that's more important than winning. And just say, look, I'm sorry that we're fighting.
Yes.
I'm sorry that we're at this point. I'm sorry we're not understanding each other. I'm sorry that we've misunderstood each other. You know, don't worry about pointing who's right or who's wrong, because that's where you get into ego.
Yeah, and I agree here with Chris. She goes, right, she goes, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. It's not my intention.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
That's why I say that, because certainly not my intention, but I also, and I don't necessarily tell them all the time, but they may have a filter on that's having them receive things in a negative manner because of what they heard as a kid.
Well, yeah, they absolutely they do, and that's why they can't really apologize.
Yes, they can't apologize for their part, so I'll just apologize for their perception of it.
Right. So when they can't apologize, usually it's because they have such a low self-esteem and belief about themselves. that by saying, oh, I was wrong, I'm sorry, it just adds to that. It's like they haven't learned how to, they have, you know, people are really freaked out about the word being vulnerable. But being vulnerable is a double-edged sword. On one side, vulnerability allows us to feel pain and anger and shame and sadness, right? And jealousy.
Yeah.
On the other side, it allows us to feel great joy and love and happiness and be kind. But if we know that there's only two emotions, fear and love, we understand that because everything behind everything negative, jealousy, control, unkindness, is fear. Everything behind kindness, forgiveness, acceptance is love.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense, you know.
We have so many comments. So we have...
Yeah, everyone's saying how they apologize, which is great. And these are wonderful because, you know what, everyone's aware of it, and now they're going to, like, look what we're doing. We're, like, changing the world. Everyone's going to be aware of it, and they're going to start apologizing better. So that's really great. Kudos.
Yeah. And Deborah, who's one of our Saturday afternoon hosts, says some people don't know how to apologize and don't believe they need to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not our charge.
Let me just say something really horrific that was I heard one day. This is from my first ex-husband. Okay. He tended to be a little narcissistic. He made the comment to me. I asked him to apologize one time, and he said, I never apologize.
Wow.
I never apologize because I. That's why I don't make mistakes. I never make mistakes, so I don't have to apologize.
Wow.
Do you know how much humility and beauty there is in apologizing from your heart? You know, I mean, listen, like I said, I raised three kids, and nobody's a perfect mom, right? And there were times, you know, my oldest son said to me, Mom, you did that. And, you know, and I'm like, I am so humble pie about this stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, I am so sorry. My mom was pie too. Please forgive me. I was like out of my mind when I probably did that, but I still had that. Like I said, I still was wounded, you know, and not healed. So, but there's beauty in apology, and there's so much beauty in forgiveness. You can just, you know, and I love the saying, "Killing them with kindness," you know, because when I was in radio. Right? I was on air, and there was this girl that I worked with that just could not stand me. I don't know why. I think it's because I got the job and she didn't, to be honest. She really wanted to be. Every time we get, like, a softball game together and we're going to play softball or whatever, I put my name up on the list to play, and I get the red letters, excuse the word, bitch, next to my name, right? I knew who it was. So,
you know, it's like, here's the thing. If that's what you need to do to make you feel better, go for it, Dolly. That's what I said.
But you know what I did? I made sure I was extra nice to her.
I was so nice.
And I pretend like I didn't even know that she was capable of doing stuff like that. But I was really nice to her. And I think I probably scrambled her brain a bit, but she became nicer.
Well, because she's hurting. That's why she's doing it. Not because she's hurting.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to bring on my husband.
Okay.
See if I can get that right. There we go. Andrew Thayer Calhoun.
Hi, Jody. Hi, Gina.
Are you there? I don't hear him. That's weird. And I've got this other mic open. So I don't know why I have two mics open. So going to call Andrew on the phone and close my, because I think I understand what's going on. So, Andrew, I'm going to call you on my phone to your phone. Hold on a second here. So we can't actually take in callers today, it looks like. There's something going on with the switchboard again. What a surprise. I'm really looking forward to just getting rid of Blog Talk altogether because it's a joke. So let me just dial him up. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So let me just put you by the speaker. Go ahead. And so we have Andrew, the voice of Andrew Calhoun.
The voice of Andrew Calhoun. Hi, Gina. Hi.
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I am so grateful for the work that you've done with me and with Jody. And I wanted to share a few things with the audience because we all go through challenges from being a child to being an adult, having parents, because we're all shaped by our parents, as we've been talking about this morning. Boys, their first love is their mother, and the father is the one they look up to, the first person they look up to. And then those relationships change either for better or for worse as they progress. It doesn't mean that they can't get better. We can't mend things, even decades later. Even if the parent has passed from this earth, there still can be some healing that goes on. And you can talk about that in the last half hour. But I wanted to share about challenges that we all have, and I'll just speak for me personally. The other night, a couple nights ago, Julie and I were in our storage locker. We moved down from the Chicagoland area, sold my house, and moved down here. The market was crazy, so we decided to rent. And we rented in a small two-bedroom apartment as opposed to a house. We have a lot of things to put in storage. We're going through those things, and I don't know whether it brought up memories or brought up some kinds of emotions, but I just kind of felt like things are just not going, they aren't where I want them to be. And Joey and I are in a good place in our relationship, but I mean, as far as work goes and as our wellness business, Tucson Essentials, we continue to make great progress and do fantastic things with people. But I was in, I was doing Reiki sessions for several hours in a health food store in Nature's Corner Market, which is in Marietta and in Woodstock, Georgia. And I talked to numerous people who said, yeah, I'll call you, really, really great stuff that we need that I want you to work with, and you can help me. And that had happened the week before, and you know, you get no calls. That's not a big deal, but you're like, come on. People keep on saying they're going to call, they don't call. So you start making yourself wrong. I start making myself wrong. What am I doing wrong that people aren't calling and not following up when they said they would? Am I not good enough? And that's to realize that other people are going through challenges as well. If they say they're going to call and they don't call the first day or the first week, think of being put on. Doesn't mean they won't call next week, or maybe it's not the right time for them. So it was a challenge for me. I really needed to release that and understand, and everyone needs to release things like that and understand that we have so many positive things and positive stories because there are people who then did call me and said, I want some information about I didn't get that as a Reiki session, but I'd like to have that. Or you talked about water filters. I really think that's important for me and for my family. Tell me more about that. So the good news did come. And one really important fact, and when I have YouTube on the phone, is for people to lean into others. Don't try to do it alone. Have a shoulder to cry on or a counselor to talk to work you through it. People who know how to help. And it's reach out. Even if you don't have a therapist or a coach or someone as talented as the two of you to go to a friend and just talk out things because it will get better. But it's not going to get better. It's easier to get better when you lean on someone and get some coaching and some help. So I appreciate both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to, may I add to that, Andrew?
Of course.
So, one, I think we, you know, there's a lesson in that. Sometimes we're not supposed to be the person's provider. We're just here to plant a seed for that person, right? And then the provider is someone else. And I'm okay with that. And I know that Andrew is now okay with that. And the other thing is, I'll just say this. So Andrew, I remove demons from people, and I untether them from other dimensions.
And sometimes a demon can come back to someone's body.
I also remove curses. Well, I apologized to Andrew that night because when he was out doing his work and being the light that he is, and by the way, you don't get demons unless you are like the light. Just so you know, you don't get a demon on you unless they're so scared of your light and the love that you bring into the world. And Andrew's light is so strong. I mean, it's so bright. And we had taken a demon off months ago, and I didn't pick up. It took me 24 hours to figure out that he had another demon on him. And I apologized to him from the heart. I said, I should know better. I should have seen this. I said, I apologize. And we got that off of him. This has all happened like 2 days ago. We got that off of him. And he was able to then process his feelings. And the other thing is I learned is that we have ports, some of us, on our body, which is where they access you. Mm-hmm. So we closed up all those ports, which we didn't do the first time, I don't think. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't, maybe we missed something, I don't know. But the point is that, he was feeling bad, like a failure. And I'm like, let me show you your list. I created like a 4-page list for him prior to this, witnessing his greatness. Like, these are all the things that you are so great at and that you have done for yourself to make yourself a better version of you. And you did this. No one else did this. You made the choice,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, Andrew, would you speak to the self-limiting beliefs? Because I think I would say those are gone for you now, most of them anyway. And would you talk about what you did to shift your thinking, whether it was going to the Akashic Records or whatever, any other practice that you did to shift your mindset?
Right. So part of it, shifting it, is forgiving yourself for and not living in the past. So if you look and you say, back 6 years ago, I was at the pinnacle of my success, and then things changed and things dropped off, and I haven't gotten back to there. And gotten back there really means I haven't had the financial success that I had at least 6 years ago or whatever. And it's not me and responsible out there who may feel the same way. But then you look at the kinds of successes, I'll speak for me, and people have their own experiences, but the successes that I've had, they're on a different level. I'm so much more aware now than I was 6 years ago. I'm so much more spiritually enlightened than I was 6 years ago. I'm so much more at peace with myself on many levels than I was 6 years ago. I was telling myself things or living a life that I thought was what I should be doing because of expectations that other people had for me. So I'm reflected to think, why did I think I was in such a great place those 6 years ago? Why do I think I'm in a lesser place now? Because I'm not in a lesser place. So there's that. There's also, so self-forgiveness is an important thing in recognizing that that I have great gifts and that people appreciate these gifts. And as you mentioned, when I had three Reiki sessions in a row, and as Jody mentioned a few minutes ago, the first, they're all three friends, and they're sitting at a table, and I come back with the first one and said, who's going to be next? And they said to their friend, you're glowing. That's amazing. What happened? said, wait till it's your turn, you'll know. You'll experience it too. So the deal is,
he does this remotely, people too. You can do it remotely.
She's also a Reiki practitioner, so she knows. She said that's incredible energy that you transmitted from Georgia to Indiana. I can feel it. So it's sometimes we don't get the accolades like that where people say, that was amazing, I'm glowing, I can't believe how good you make me feel. Sometimes we hear those and sometimes we don't hear them. Doesn't mean that they don't exist. You touch people every day. You touch people the right way or the wrong way. We've talked about this lots of times on the show about how energy travels. Reiki energy can be face-to-face, touching people, or being inches away from a person, or it can be three states away. That's positive. So positive energy through Reiki or just through being yourself can make an impact on people's lives that you're not even aware of. At the same time, the negative energy that you might bring in is going to affect people as well. Even, as Jody was saying, even if you're not really consciously aware of the bad energy, the other person is, or may be. And to say, we talked about the apologies, I'm sorry, but you're not really sorry. You're just saying that to exit the relationship, to exit the situation and get out of it so you don't have to say anything more. So energy is a big thing, both negatively and positively. And to kind of wrap up this, I realize the kind of positive impact that I'm making on people's lives. And fortunately, we all like to hear a verbal expression that people say, you made a big impact on my life. I was talking to people last night who needed help, just needed like 5 minutes of talking to, and it made a huge difference in where in their trajectory. They're not feeling like, the person I didn't even know, happened to get in a conversation with them, and he said, "That you really changed my outlook on what I think of that. I wasn't feeling so good about myself, and now I feel like I have hope." The bottom line is, I realized that I can make, and I am making differences in people's lives. I'm making a positive change for people, and every one of us can make a positive change to the people we talk to and people we interact with. Even if they don't tell us, you can. Thanks, Jody. Thanks, Tina.
Yeah. Tina?
Absolutely. All that. And, you know, I was going to mention this as a little sidebar. You know, when you're dating the wrong person or when you're involved with the wrong person, did you know that when you have sex with them, you also pick up their energy that way too?
Yes, I did a post on that the other day. You get all their crap, people.
You get all their crap.
You sleep with people you don't absolutely need to be with for the rest of your life.
No. So, negative energy is like, it's real. And it's contagious. Let me use that word. It's contagious. So, bless you.
He's on the truth, Dolly.
if you've been in numerous relationships with the same guy, type of guy that is narcissistic, he's abusive, he's emotionally unavailable, he doesn't really see you, he doesn't support you, it's all about him, you're probably in the wrong relationship. And pay attention to those red flags. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. It just means he needs to go and work on himself, right? And then you need to ask yourself, like Andrew was talking about the energy, you know, I mean, that person you're involved with has very negative energy, and you really can pick it up. So then you need to ask yourself, why? What is it about me? What's wrong with me that I am so drawn to people like this? Why do I keep doing this? And I can tell you.
Yeah,
I can tell you, yeah, it's usually for the women, it's because dad was not available. There was no real, true, loving, supportive relationship. He did not help guide her to grow up and become a woman, you know, from a man's perspective, okay? So all those things matter. And when you see the red flags, they are red for a reason. They pop up for a reason. They're not pink and they're not white. They're red. And they say, leave. Leave this person. Listen,
fun.
Just because we love somebody doesn't mean they're the right person for us. Some people will come into your life for a season. Some people will be just for a lifetime. Some people will come in for a day just to teach you something. Look at your bad relationships as, what do I need to work on with me, within me, okay?
Yeah, I just want to say, because it's so important, some people, and I did this like in training, lots of different training throughout my lifetime, some people are going to show up, not necessarily how they normally do, okay? They're going to show up just for you.
That's right.
Release your crap.
That's the guy at the bus stop that ran up at the last minute before you were born and said, hey, I'm going to be that idiot in your life, okay? That's the guy at the bus stop.
Well,
so I want to emphasize again, because I know we're getting running on time here, really, women, and you know, guys too, but mostly women about this particular book, if you've had bad relationship after bad relationship and you're like, what the heck is wrong with me? Go pick up the book, Women Who Love Too Much, Robin Norwood. It's on Amazon. My website is CoachGinaMartel.net, and you can go on there, have a page that has all the books that I recommend and a lot of the movies that I recommend as well, okay? I'm going to warn you about this book, though. You're going to read it, and you're going to go, I don't, you know, and then by the time you get halfway through, you're going to say, I hate this book. I hate this book. It's giving me anxiety. I hate this book, but I always tell people, push through and get to the end of it, because when you get to the end of it, you're going to realize that you're probably in a few chapters and that you love the book. It's very on point, okay? Maybe we can mention this on the site or something, Jody. There's a couple of books that that I'm familiar with. If you do have dad issues, right, and they can range from having a dad that was absent, having a dad that was emotionally unavailable, which is also absent, having a dad that was just abusive or unkind, or just being a daddy's girl. Being a daddy's girl is horrible, horrible. What you're setting your daughter up to be is a failure at relationships, because there is no relationship that's going to be better than daddy. So nobody is going to meet that standard that dad has set of dad will buy you everything, dad will give you money, dad, everything is fine with daddy. But, you know, you're going to have to work and figure out how to have a normal relationship with any other guy out there. Oh, there you go. Yeah. There's some other books I'm getting ready to. Huh?
Yeah, these are great books. And I'll say that, and here's Dr. Dwayne Dwyer. So I did this, too, on my site. Mine's all about food.
Yeah.
Right? And I also do about mindset, but these are different books. Than what I recommend. But this is her site, everybody. And then I just also want to share this. So I don't know that we can play it or not, but this is the Ho'oponopono that you spoke about. So I have a different kind of sneeze lately, and it's a clearing sneeze. I'm not allergic to anything, and I'm not sick. So you clear things, wind, fire, earth, rain, and I'm doing a lot of wind.
So, you know what? I found out about this the other day. There's actually a spiritual flu going around.
It's a spiritual flu.
When you are awake as we ascend, we get closer to ascension, there's a spiritual flu going around. And all my friends that are...
We got that. Andrew, how long ago did we get that?
I'm not sure, but I can't remember.
Yeah, we got that too. I know what you're talking about because I felt like it was very spiritual, and so this resonates with me big time.
It's a release. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because all of my spirit tribe, we're all complaining about sneezing and coughing and not sleeping. These are all ascension symptoms.
Yeah, and I want to go back to Tracy for a moment. She says, I love the reminder of only two emotions, love or fear. The ultimate prayer is, Lord, please heal my fear-based thoughts.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy. And then Zelda says, Grand Rising, beautiful sisters. I need a Kleenex. He says, awesome information for singles and couples. Thanks for the crucial show, especially for the holidays.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, that's another topic, is bringing home somebody to show your parents that you're with somebody, right? You're not alone.
Right, that's
kind of nonsense, too. People do it.
Oh, yeah. And then Chris says, Tracy Cancer Rudy, that's a great prayer. I agree.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you. I got chills all over. And then she says, energetic parasites and stuck souls are definitely drawn to our light. It's incredibly important to learn how to identify them. Yeah, and so here's the other thing. If you have parasites on the inside of your body, you can't have them on the inside unless you have them on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen any other way, and I do help you get rid of parasites because I have a red light therapy for that. It's close, but anyway. I'm like, this is what I can do. And then Chris says, a big red flag is when the internal conversation turns real nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I am catching myself now, and I just go like this, I'm like, done. You know, like, let it go, forgive
me. Let it go.
Not worth it.
It's so, I mean, listen, life is too short. You know, we're going to die eventually. And there's a great, I forget the name of the philosopher, but Wayne Dyer said this. There was a story he told about this man, and he said when he was on his deathbed, he had not been very nice to his wife and to the people in his life. And when he's on his deathbed, his wife was there, and he said, what if my whole life I've been wrong?
Right?
Yeah, think about that. What if everything you thought...
How can you be humble like that?
Yeah. I mean, we do things in our... You know, what if we go through life and we had those kind of parents and we never healed ourselves because we didn't think that we needed to, right? And you go through your whole life, and at the very end of your life, you look back and you go, wow, what if my whole life I've been wrong?
Right. Yeah.
You know, why not heal and work on what you know that you can? I have people that are, I have more guys lately coming to me, and I'm loving it because I'm seeing so many more men waking up, you know. Because as women, we are truly the spiritual ones, right? But men, you know, are starting to really wake up, and it's really, really great. But when you realize that you lived your whole life thinking the wrong thoughts and living in your ego and being unkind, and really all that comes from you being so unhappy with yourself inside.
Right. So as long as, if this is you, don't worry about it. You can get it handled. But if every time there's an issue, you're pointing the finger at someone else and not looking at yourself, you need to shift that around because
you're... That's right.
Yeah, you have to look at you and see what the message is, what's the lesson. And I'm not saying make yourself wrong. We've all been through it. Like, we all made the mistakes. Or we don't use the word mistake and wrong in this household anymore. We use the word lesson. We've all had similar lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Honor that, you know, it's just a lesson. It's okay.
And you know what? There are people that sometimes drive us crazy and we have to deal with, and all they are doing is holding up a mirror. They're holding up a mirror.
Good
exactly. they're showing us a trait that we may have that we need to get rid of. You know?
And yeah.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, and Nan says, and I don't know what point that Nan piped in here, but she says, true, so true, and preach. We appreciate you letting us preach, Nan. So we're grateful. And I want to mention that I have this program, and I'm going to share it real quick here. So let's just go here. Hold on. Let me undo this. So my program, and this is how you get in touch with Gina, by the way. So Gina Martell, Coach Gina Martell. It always looks like coaching, but the G, you know. Okay.
No, no.
CoachGinaMartell.net or GinaMartell@gmail.com.
Gina E. Martell.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
GinaEMartell@gmail.com. And so I'm going to share a screen, though, because my program starts at the beginning of the year. So it's a special 3 hours program, two groups, one for men, one for women. You can do it in person or virtual. It's 20 sessions, 10 sessions, 2 hours each. And it's January through May, every other Thursday. The last day to sign up is on the 31st, and the special group price is $1,000, and which puts the course at $50 an hour. So, which, that's
pretty good.
Amazing. Yeah, it's really good. And here are the dates. So virtual or in person, for the men, it starts January 19th. For the women, it starts January 12th. And you do get the functional food program for free, which is $99, as a part of you doing that. And if you want to explore and enhance your own spiritual gifts, it's a five-month program. And I'm going to tell you that it's so important to understand not only how to access source energy, but really we're also going to, you know, we're going to learn how to work on each other so we can help each other, right? So you're not going to be tethered to me. You're actually going to be tethered to God. You're going to be tethered to God, and you're going to be able to serve or source energy. Like, you know, you pick your word. I'm not going to challenge anybody on that. That's not my gig. But you're gonna have access to do what you want to do, and you'll be able to know if someone's lying to you, because I'll teach you how to muscle test things. You'll know when someone's lying to you across the table. You're having a meeting. Just check that out underneath the table, right? You know, do a muscle test, and you'll know if someone's being true or not true, right? And you know this anyway, but that muscle testing really helps you figure that out. So, do you have any programs coming up, Gina? How do people get in touch? I mean, I know this is how they get in touch with you. You know, you've got this equine program. It's just amazing. Your two boys, Dodger and Blue.
I do regular session work, you know, on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. I do have a group that sometimes we get together and we'll do like we do fire walks. So if I'm at the point with my clients that they are ready to do a fire walk, we do a fire walk, and it's amazing. We do it here on my property, and we had 14 people like a month ago, and it was amazing. As a matter of fact, I have a video that somebody took, and we had two green fae flying over us, and green fae are transformation.
Yeah, it's heart too.
It was really fantastic. So the whole thing with the fire walk is, you know, stepping into your fears. It's a metaphor.
Right.
And
right.
My husband is my fire captain. He worked with Tony Robbins for 11 years as his fire captain, and then
right.
I volunteered and we traveled all around the world doing that with Tony. But that's one of the things that I do every now and then. You know, when I have a group of clients that are ready for that transformation. But go to my website.
I'll send my group to you for the fire walk. I'll send my group to you for the fire walk.
That'd be great, yeah. Yeah,
I might
go to the website.
I won't do it because I probably won't do it, but I'll set, you know, maybe I will do it. I'm scared I might do this. But anyway, when we're done with our class, we could all do your fire walk, you know, and we could all come over, we'll have 40 people.
That'd be awesome. We've walked 27,000 people over fire. My husband has probably walked, I don't know, 200,000 people over fire. He builds the fires. He's a firefighter. He's a retired firefighter, and a paramedic. So he does all that. And
you can see my feet when we're done. I think
yeah.
Our spouse come in.
It's really cool. I mean, people are just amazed. Hey, girls.
Hello. So we've got Tinkerbell, who's a little shy.
Mm-hmm.
So we said that everybody sees beautiful. Look at beautiful Tinkerbell.
I know.
Say hi to Auntie Gina. And Facebook, who's like the extrovert. So I'm going to let you fly now, okay? All right, so there we go. She wants it. So this girl could not fly when I got her.
Oh.
Yeah, so she's an amazing success story on her own. Uh-oh, they have a message. Hold on. Tinkerbell, you've got the message. Got it. So that's okay, thank you. So, okay, what Tinkerbell is saying, she says, I live my life, not only this lifetime, but past lifetimes, not believing in myself and not willing to use my voice and not sticking up for myself. And she says, she goes, it's so important to use your voice and to find out who you are. And she says that I don't know two better women on the planet that can do it for you than these two.
Thank you, Tinkerbell. I'm glad you found your self-love.
For people who don't know, so this is my, Fagla is Sadie, my grandfather who passed, he took his life when I was 7. This is his second wife, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
So we all come back in these same tribes. And both of them were in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And Claire, you know, could not have kids, and because she was raped, right? And so there's just a lot of stuff that goes on and in our lives that we are passed down from generations that we're not even aware of. And so if someone, thank you, she says, if someone's not treating you the way that you want to be treated, remember they're healing too. So send them a great card because they're healing and they're walking in truth that maybe you've never walked. Yeah.
That's right. That's their journey. That's something very important too, is sometimes, you know, when people come and work with me, they ask to work on their stuff, but I can't force anyone to come and work with me. If it's not their time, when Andrew was talking about the Reiki, you know, if it's not their time, it's not their time. But honestly, you cannot interfere with somebody's journey. You have to let them go and figure it out and walk their own path, and they will. And if they realize some things and they want to come back and do some work, that's when you'll get a call.
Yeah. And so that's the wrong one. I wanted to show your books. Hold on. So I just want to show Gina's site once more. So she's
herself.
She's a great resource, and she, you know, has some great resources on her site. She also is an author herself.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what's going on here. I guess it's Blog Talk.
I'm feeling compelled to write another book too, so I'm toying with it.